Matt from Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, I'll tell you, the UN General Assembly suspended Russia from the Human Rights Council. The vote was 98 to 24, but 58 countries abstained. The only time in history that anybody has been thrown off the Human Rights Council was Libya in 2011, when Gaddafi had gunned down protesters in the street. You can say, well, so what? So what? Russia is a joke. You know, on Human Rights Council, it's like putting Adolf Hitler on the Human Rights Council. That was a joke to begin with. Everybody knew it. It's kind of a toothless committee anyway, blah, blah, blah. The fact is, though, that it is a tremendous prestige blow to have one of the five original countries with veto power on the Security Council and always considers itself a major power. It's been part of the G8. The G8, theoretically, were the eight largest economies in the world. In fact, it was the seven largest economies in the world, and they let Russia in to save face because they weren't close to the top eight. To have them thrown out, you know, don't let the door hit you on the way out. They shout, I've been thrown out of better places than this, as the bouncer throws them on the curb. This is obviously a shameful thing. It had to be done, but why did 58 abstain? If 58 had not abstained, then it would have been 98 to 82, and it takes two-thirds, it wouldn't have passed. So what happens is there's intense lobbying by our UN secretary and our State Department. There's a lot of jawboning. It's like rounding up votes in the state legislature and the Congress. And so the 98, obviously all of our allies and countries that want to get close to us, and I'm sure that we were not all that delicate about telling them they had better come correct with some respect or they're going to get hurt economically, but 58 of them didn't, and that's a problem. Sam's wiggling her thumbs. It means there's a text. Sam, do we have a text?
Yes. Lynn from Oconomowoc is texting in a question for you, Matt.
Great. Yeah. Shoot away, Sam.
She says, crazy thought. What if Poland annexed the portion of their country that became part of Ukraine? If Russia is attacking that area that would be under the Polish flag, it would be an attack on NATO country. NATO could act?
That's a brilliant idea. I mean, frankly, I like that. You want to know why? Because it shows a real recognition of history. And that is a fascinating, fascinating question. Let me repose it. Thanks, Lynn of Oconomowoc, for that excellent suggestion. Suppose before the Russian invasion, let's say a year ago, that Poland had entered into a treaty on its own, which it could do, with Ukraine, say, look, you were part of us in 1795. And Prussia, Russia, and Austria. Remember, those days, Germany wasn't unified. You had Prussia and Bavaria. And Bavaria had its own king, King Ludwig. And, of course, Prussia had Frederick. And a little-known fact, if you are in Milwaukee, or you know Milwaukee, there's a great, very old German Catholic church on Broadway and Kilbourne, St. Mary's. If you go in it, the altar, this was built in the 19th century. If you go in it, the altar was donated by King Ludwig of Bavaria in the 19th century. It's a beautiful piece of work. The Gahr brothers, G-A-A-R, Austrian wood carvers, John Gahr, Joe Gahr, the two wood carvers, brilliant wood carvers, carved the altar. If you are in Milwaukee, it's worth a trip there. It's an architectural treasure, St. Mary's Church, corner of Broadway and Kilbourne. So you had Ludwig of Bavaria in the 19th century. You had Frederick in Prussia, but in the 18th century, it was just Prussia. Bavaria didn't do this. It was Prussia. Prussia did it. Russia did it. And Austria did it. So the point is, and let me give you a modern possibility that Lynn's raising. What if Slovakia? No. What if Poland, okay, or Romania right now enter into a treaty with Moldova. Now, Moldova is a country that's just to the west of Ukraine. And the Belarusian strongman, murderer, and thief, Lukashenko, who should be put to death, quite frankly, 400-pound barrel of pig manure, inadvertently showed plans to a TV reporter that were broadcast, and we picked it up, that said that after Ukraine is swallowed up, Russia's going into Moldova, right up against the Romanian and Polish borders. And why are they doing that? Because Moldova is not NATO. Well, suppose that Romania or Poland annex them with their permission. Wouldn't the NATO treaty cover not just Poland and Romania, but also whoever they annex? The answer is yes. The thing about doing it right in the middle of the war, I would do it. In fact, I'll tell you something. Zelensky proposed, and I supported, you know, and this is me, a radio host, not in office, but he said, fast track us into the EU, into NATO. Put us in right now. Put us in right now. The U.S. supported their application to NATO 15 years ago. You know who blocked it? Angela Merkel of Germany. And the French went along with that. And they said, oh, it might anger Putin 15 years ago. He would not have invaded. We should have done it. We should have done it. In 2002, we let in Poland, Estonia, Latvia, Lithuania, then Slovakia and Slovenia, the Czech Republic, then Hungary, then Bulgaria, all of these countries, Warsaw Pact countries. So that didn't anger them. So therefore what? And Georgia had put in for it too. We should have let them both in. Absolutely should have let them both in. Lynn is absolutely right. And I think that I would advocate even right now telling Putin, we are bringing Ukraine into the EU and into NATO. Get out. Or you're going to have the U.S. Air Force and the U.S. Navy to deal with. Get out. Short of that, get them the planes, the shorter ship missiles, the tanks, everything else, the air defense systems. We've given them a puny air defense system. It can take down helicopters at 5,000 feet. Eastern Europe has others that are much more advanced. And then our Patriot anti-missile one is the most advanced. Give them this. Give it to them. Have them impose, using them as troops. They're very tough. They're very good. They're very smart. Ukraine had become a technology hub. It's one of the greatest wheat producers in the world. It's a very, very efficient, competent country. But, you know, it sounds like a funny thing, but it's not. Ukraine was part of Poland. Flat out was. Flat out was. Stolen away by the Ruskies. Well, put it back in. And then say, don't even think about it. My concern, I'll tell you this again, Putin has three enemies. Biden has three enemies. The U.S. has three enemies. Putin and the Putin-Trump axis in the Republican Party and Germany. That's what they have. And the Putin-Trump axis will do anything to attack a wartime president right in the middle of the war. They praise Putin. Trump just came out again and said Putin should turn over evidence that he thinks he has on Hunter Biden, right in the middle of a genocide. Right with American troops stationed in Poland, very close to the Ukrainian border. One errant missile, one miscalculation, our guys could get killed. And then we're going to have to retaliate. And this clown Trump is sucking up to Putin, the clown Trump. When he went in, even after he went in, he said genius. It was genius. He gets all that real estate for $2 in sanctions. There is no appreciation of morality here. There's no appreciation of murder and rape. There's no appreciation of what happens to human beings and their suffering with Trump. There's only real estate, money, and sadism. That's all there is. So I know that Joe Biden has his eye on that. Obviously, he has to. He has to, although he's gone up in the polls recently. But he is seriously miscalculating The American people want him to be more aggressive, not less. And this is an excellent get out of jail free card. Ukraine will do the fighting. Let's just give them the arms. And up till now, the EU and Biden, with their eye on the Putin-Trump axis behind them with the knives, says, well, we don't want to escalate. What? Come on. What, against Hitler, you don't want to escalate? He's killing 6 million people in concentration camps. Putin kidnapped about 400,000 Ukrainians and took them to Russia, including kids. Separated the kids from their families. Separating kids from their families. And then scouring them for priests, nuns, intellectuals, journalists, mayors, and members of parliament. Some will be killed. Some will be put in prison. Some will be tortured. This is happening right now. This isn't Germany in the 1930s and 40s. It's happening right now. They've escalated. We have a way of countering it without taking a risk of nuclear war. We've already given Ukraine tons of arms, but they've all been small arms, so to speak. Stingers, missiles, low-range anti-aircraft systems, no planes, no shore-to-ship missiles. So what? We're going to give them some more weapons, and that's going to trigger something that didn't before? What people are worried about, let's be blunt, what people are worried about is that somehow Putin will see that he's trapped like a rat, and he'll use chemical or nuclear weapons. No. Tim Snyder, professor at Yale University, one of my favorite historians, he wrote a book called Tyranny. It's an unbelievable book. You should get it. Google him and get his other stuff. And he was on yesterday, and he said, you know, the only way this can end peaceably to keep the peace worldwide is with a military defeat of Russia. And they go, well, come on. If Russia's militarily defeated, won't Putin do X? He said, no. Putin wants to stay in power. Above all, he wants to stay in power. And when he sees a military defeat, and that has to happen in the Donbass region, it's going to take technology, planes, and shorter ship missiles. When he sees that, he doesn't want to be assassinated. He'll figure a face-saving way out to get out of it. That's the only way to do it. He's absolutely right. And the people in our State Department, the Biden administration, are too concerned about being attacked from the rear by the Putin-Trump axis. Get him the planes. Going to a break. The lines are open. 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.